May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 590, the first five verses. Now for a song of praise to our Redeemer God, whose glorious works and ways proclaim his love abroad. Ye prodigals, lift up your voice, and let us all in him rejoice. Hymn 590, we'll sing the first five verses and hope to sing the remaining verses for our middle hymn.
Oh, God to bless his word as we read it together. Let us turn to the Song of Solomon and read chapters 1 and 2. The Song of Solomon, reading chapters 1 and 2. I would just say before I start reading these two chapters that many people find the Song of Solomon very difficult to understand, and it is not an easy book. But as we read it together this morning, may we just consider that it describes the conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. As Christ speaks to the church and as the church speaks to Christ. And as you may read on through this Song of Solomon, you will see then how there is that walk in the world and the desire and sometimes the lack of desire after Christ. So it is really a very wonderful and very special book, and we should not turn away from it because it may seem on the face of it difficult to understand. So may God bless it to us this morning. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, the daughters of Jerusalem as the church of God, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth a smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of campfire in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters are fir. I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break, and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Betha. May God bless his word to us and help us now to call upon his name in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty, ever blessed and eternal God, help us to be truly thankful today for every blessing and every favour that we receive. Help us, Lord, to count our many blessings and to name them one by one. For, Lord, we desire to acknowledge that we have a God who is very kind and very merciful and very gracious. We're thankful, Lord, if this morning we're able to come and to declare that the Lord has not dealt with us as our sins deserve, but that we are the recipients of the mercy of our God. And Lord, may we therefore know what it is to bow down and worship the Almighty God today. And we pray that it may be that every one of us may worship in spirit and in truth, and so be numbered amongst those who are the true worshippers. Oh, bless us today, Lord, with that true worship. Lord, let us not mock our God with any false worship, with any pretense of worship, and our heart be far away. So, Lord, do look upon us for good today and bless us indeed with that true spirit of worship. And we earnestly plead then that our souls may be blessed. We pray, Lord, it may be a day of blessing, a day in our spiritual lives that we shall be able to say that the Lord was gracious and the Lord met with us. And indeed, Lord, we desire that we may never come and not know that the Lord but meets with us. Lord, all our needs are known today. Lord, we come before our God, that God who knows everything, every single smallest detail about us, that God who knows what is in our heart. We pray, therefore, gracious God, that will come and do us good today. We pray there may be found in our hearts that true desire that we may, by faith, see Jesus. That we may, by faith, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And Lord, should it be that we've come here this morning with no concern about the condition and state of our soul, we pray, gracious God, that thy good Spirit may begin that work, that great work, that glorious work of the salvation of souls. And therefore we pray that none here today may be left out of the secret, that secret of the Lord, which is with them that fear God. Oh, we pray, Lord, today that we may each have the evidence that we are those who fear God, those whom the Lord has graciously called, has graciously dealt with, has graciously seen fit to set our feet upon a rock and to establish our goings. And so, Lord, we do pray today that thou wilt hear our prayers. Hear, Lord, the prayers of everyone. And again, Lord, if there are those who have not prayed, or if there are those who prayed just in a traditional way, not from their heart, oh Lord, do grant that there may be that prayer go up today, that earnest prayer, that true prayer, and that the Lord will be gracious. Oh, we pray, Lord, that everyone may know what it is to come in with that prayer of the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Lord, none of us can find that prayer becomes out of date or is old-fashioned. Lord, how constantly it is so suitable. And so we pray, Lord, it may indeed be suitable to us each today. We pray, Lord, for each one then gathered here this morning. And those, Lord, who are not able to gather, we pray for them, those who are ill and sick and afflicted, Lord, perhaps old age, Lord, whatever the reason, we pray earnestly for them, that they may know the presence of the Lord with them today. And especially, we think of Peter, Lord, in his weak condition. We pray for him that thou wilt draw near and grant that he may be able to worship the Lord and to know what it is for the Lord to look upon him in his lowest state. Oh, we're thankful, Lord, that thou hast come to thy people in whatever condition they are. And so we pray, Lord, for him that thou would bless his soul and heal his body. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the need of these things. But we're thankful that we have a God who has said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And we're thankful, Lord, that we have an almighty God, a God who is able and willing to do for us exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or even think. And so, Lord, hear our prayer for him and those not able to be here this morning. We pray, Lord, for the children and young people, Lord, as they grow up in a difficult age. We pray, Lord, that they may come to know the Lord while they're young. And Lord, that thou wilt be to them that unctuous light to all that's right and a bar to all that's wrong. And Lord, keep their feet. And Lord, deliver them from being concerned what their friends think about them. May they only be concerned to realize what God thinks about them. And so, Lord, be with them. And grant, Lord, that they may be instructed in the things of God, and that they may indeed prove to be one of thy children. We pray for parents, Lord, in the difficult task which confronts them today. Give them grace and wisdom and understanding to know that which is right, to point out the right way, to warn their children of those things which are wrong, and to, Lord, give them those words of wisdom to seek those things which are right and to cleave to that which is good and to turn away from those things which are wrong. And we pray, Lord, that they may be able to testify of thy goodness to them in their lives, thy favour and blessing to them, that it may be a good example to their children. And indeed, Lord, we pray that each one of us may ever be a good example to each other, to the children of God. Lord, let us not be found pleasing ourselves, but, oh Lord, help us to be those who please not themselves. We're thankful, Lord, for the great and glorious example of our Saviour, who pleased not himself. We know, Lord, what he passed through, what agonies he endured, what afflictions and opposition. And so, Lord, may we always be able to consider him in our life. And, Lord, may we follow that great and glorious example. And so, Lord, hold us up and hold us on. Oh, Lord, we pray we may today know the power of the arm of our God that supports us and strengthens us. And, Lord, may we know that the Lord takes us by our hand and leads us safely through this wilderness of this world in which we are passing. And may it truly be as we are passing through this world to our eternal home. And may that eternal home be in glory with Christ. Oh Lord, then, be gracious to us, we pray. Be with the deacons, Lord, and encourage them in their labour and work here. May they do everything as unto the Lord. May they be encouraged in their office. And we pray for the church, Lord. Bless each member. Help them to pray for each other, to support each other, to encourage each other as they journey through life. Be with the congregation. Bless everyone. O Lord, we pray for thy rich blessing to be upon them, that they may each know the Lord. And we pray, Lord, in due time they may be able to come and tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. Oh, we pray, Lord, there may be therefore many that follow the Lord. Many are joined to the church here, that, Lord, the church may be built up and encouraged and strengthened, and thus may they dwell together in love and unity. And we pray, Lord, there may not be any root of bitterness springing up to trouble them. Lord, we read together of those little foxes that spoil the vines. We pray there may not be any little foxes allowed to come in that may spoil the tender vines. Gracious God, then, may each one consider themselves less than the least of all saints. May each one, Lord, consider themselves poor and needy, and therefore, Lord, be found looking unto Jesus, that great and glorious author of true faith. We pray, Lord, for the Church of God worldwide in this dark day in which we live. Lord, we think of those people in other lands who suffer opposition persecution, continual difficulties because of their profession of the name of Christ. Oh Lord, those who've lost their homes, those who've had their places of worship demolished, Lord, those who are imprisoned, and Lord, those who lost loved ones who've been martyred for their faith in Christ. Oh, we pray then for the suffering Church of God worldwide. Lord, how many there are we know suffer today. We look at ourselves, Lord, in the comforts that we have, the privileges that we enjoy, the liberties which are ours. And Lord, often we would be ashamed that we do not appreciate these great blessings as we should. May we, Lord, truly praise thy name for the great blessings which are ours. But Lord, may they be used to the eternal good of our never-dying souls. We pray, Lord, for all those who preach the gospel today throughout the world. Lord, may it be a day of blessing as people assemble to hear the word preached, wherever it may be, perhaps in the open fields, perhaps, Lord, in secret, in the woods, perhaps also in places built for worship. Lord, wherever the Church of God meets today, may it be a day of blessing, if it could be thy holy will. We come, Lord, and think of our own nation, a nation, Lord, so blessed in years past, and now, Lord, a nation sadly neglecting the Lord God. Oh, Lord, we pray that that word may prove to be true once more. Turn us, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Lord, how we need the Holy Spirit to once again come and turn us to serve the ever-living and true God. Oh, Lord, remember our nation. Remember our Queen. Remember her husband, the royal family. Lord, look upon them in mercy, we pray, Lord. We pray they may come to the light, that glorious light of the everlasting gospel. Lord, we are commanded to pray for those who rule over us, and we would do so and earnestly seek for the salvation of their souls. And now, gracious God, look upon us as we've gathered here for worship. Lord, send us not empty away. Grant, Lord, the word may come into our hearts and do us good. And may thy great name be honoured and glorified. And so we come, Lord, and ask all these blessings. Oh, in that great and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
In 590, commencing at verse 6, he said, and off he goes towards his father's house, with neither shoes nor hose, nor any other dress, except his base and filthy rags, of sin and guilt, the very dregs. Hymn number 590, verse 6.
May it please God to bless us together this morning as we consider his word. Let's turn to the Song of Solomon, the first chapter, and we'll read the third verse. The Song of Solomon, the third chapter, first chapter, reading the third verse. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Really, it's the central clause that I would desire to speak on, and that is, thy name is as ointment poured forth. And this is a statement made by the Church of God, or made by the bride, because again, this Song of Solomon is a conversation between the bride and the bridegroom, the bride being the church and the bridegroom being the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is therefore a statement, thy name is as ointment poured forth. And the bride or the church is here referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, it really means this, that Christ's name is as ointment poured forth. And then the ointment is that liquid which, when poured out, had a very pleasant and fragrant smell. It was very good to be poured out, and the smell was very beautiful and very attractive. So we see, do we not, immediately what these words very simply mean. It means this, that the name of Christ is attractive. The name of Christ is fragrant. The name of Christ is a blessing to the Church of God. And we might say, therefore, that such a very short statement is really central to the reality of the religion of the people of God. It really means this, that what does the name of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, mean to us this morning? Thy name is as ointment poured forth. What does the name of Jesus mean to us this morning? How does the name of Jesus affect us this morning? What do we think of the name of Jesus? It is a very important consideration. What does Christ mean to us this morning? Well, may Christ truly be precious to us today and every day. And as we think of this, we might think of the name of Jesus, what it actually means to us. Perhaps we might start with this, the name of Jesus as Saviour. Saviour. That means the one who saves our soul, the one who delivers us from the wrath to come, the one who saves us from that hell at last, that one who has died for us. Saviour. What does Jesus then mean to to us this morning. Is he our Saviour? We perhaps ought to ask the question, do we know our need of a Saviour? Do we know our need of a Saviour? You see, we've all gathered here this morning to worship. Or at least we've all come here. Whether it's really to worship, only God knows. God knows what your attitude is this morning as you come here. Whether it is to worship, or whether it's just to pass the time away. Whether it's just some tradition which you feel you should go through. Or whether it is because you have a real desire to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we need to examine ourselves. You know, the Word of God encourages us in that exercise to examine ourselves. We don't want to go on thinking, well, I'm all right. I do this and I do that. We need to examine ourselves to be able to find in our hearts the reality of our religion, and that reality being that this name, the name of Jesus, is as ointment poured forth because it is a sweet and fragrant name to us, because he is the only one who can save our souls. The only one this morning that you can have to say, who saves my soul. The Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So where is our hope today? Where is your hope today? What is your hope dependent on? Of being delivered from that wrath to come. Do you come this morning and say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Your hope this morning, for time and for eternity, is it resting upon what Christ has done? Resting upon what Christ has done. And therefore is this name this morning fragrant to you? Do you say with the hymn writer, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear? Is the name of Jesus to you this morning a sweet sound? If you have no need of Jesus, if you don't realize you are a lost and ruined sinner, the name of Jesus will not be a sweet sound to you. It'll be nothing. You'll come and go this morning in exactly the same way as you entered into this building. But oh, my friends, may you rejoice today in this name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. What does it do to you this morning, this name of Jesus? Do you bow down before the Lord Jesus this morning? And do you give thanks in your heart that he is that great and glorious Saviour? You know, we read, the Lord Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, have you been lost? Do you perhaps feel this morning that you are lost? The Word of God confirms to us we're lost. And as the hymn says, lost and ruined in the fall. Through sin, we are eternally lost. Our condition is hopeless. unless we know the Saviour. Unless we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. And unless His name is as ointment poured forth, then you see we are really without the secret. We're outside of the family of God. How do we stand this morning? Are we outside? Or are we inside? What is the name of Christ to you and to me this morning? Is He a precious name because of what He's done for us? Is that where our hope is centered? Upon what Christ has done. And what has He done as the Saviour in order to save our souls? In order to save your soul from eternal damnation. Oh, it's a terrible thought, isn't it? It should be a terrible thought. I hope it is a terrible thought to think if we are lost, if we are eternally damned, if we never knew the Saviour, our condition is hopeless. But oh, may we know this Saviour who died upon that cross at Calvary to save our souls. You see, a price had to be paid for our redemption. Price had to be paid. And that price we could not pay because we were helpless. Indeed, we were spiritually dead. We could not redeem our soul. The price that had to be paid was very great. And it had to be paid by a sinless life. And you and I could not therefore redeem our souls. Do you realize that? Do you recognize the helpless condition that you and I are in by nature? Ours was indeed a hopeless case. Such it had been, but for grace. And grace is the free, unmerited favour of God. We never deserved, we never will deserve the favour, the grace of God. But the blessing will be this morning if we are able to confirm that we have received the grace of God. And we have received that grace which is shown to us that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And as the apostle said, of whom I am chief. The Lord Jesus Christ came then to save sinners. And the great glory of the gospel is, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save us. What a blessing today if we are able to find that the Lord sought us out. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, wandering away, going in an opposite direction. Jesus sought us out. Has He sought you out? Has He found you? Has He found you wandering away from God? You see, by nature, we don't come to God. We wander away from God. But the blessing is, if Christ has found us, He found Jacob. What did He find him? in a waste, howling wilderness. And that's where we are by nature. In a waste, howling wilderness. What a blessing of God has come and found us and then directed us to himself. And what he's done in order to save our souls. What did he do? Well, he came into this sinful world, born in a humble place, in that manger in Bethlehem. You may sometimes think, why did the Saviour have to come? Why did he have to be born in such humble circumstances? Why could not he have come as a king, a natural king, as the Jews thought he would? Why did he have to come and be born like that in that humble situation? I believe it's for this very wonderful reason, that no one is born in this world in a more humbler situation. And therefore, the Lord Jesus therefore meets every case. No one can say, well, the Saviour was born in a higher situation than what I was. No, the Saviour came and was willing to be born in that most humble situation. Therefore, he meets everyone's condition. No one is born in a more lowly place. And then the Saviour, he lived his life in this world. What a difficulty it was. Day by day, with opposition. Day by day being misjudged, maltreated. And then of course we know that as he came towards the end of his earthly life, he had to suffer so, so greatly in order to save our souls. Saviour, this name, sweet Saviour. Never underestimate the cost of your salvation. Never consider it was easily achieved, because Almighty God nonetheless had to give his life in order to save our souls. Do we not have to say and glory and rejoice in it? What a Saviour. What a Saviour. That the Lord should come and die for such wretched people as we are. Sinners of the earth. Sinned against God. Perhaps sinned against light and knowledge. Turned our back upon God. But blessed be God, he has not turned his back upon his people. He's not turned his back upon them, because he's loved them with an everlasting love. And that love was so great that he was willing to give his life upon Calvary's cross. And again, you may think, well, why was it that Christ had to be crucified upon the cross? Why was it? We traced out why he had to be born in that manger. Why was it Christ had to be crucified? It was because Christ suffered the most excruciating death. No death is more painful than being crucified. And Christ therefore passed through the worst death so that no one could say, well, he didn't suffer very much. The Word of God confirms the wonder of it. And the hymn writer says, he bore all incarnate God could bear. God himself bore that curse for us in the great suffering he endured through his life and culminated on the cross at Calvary. He died. He gave his life as a sacrifice to satisfy the demands of the holy law of God. Thy name, the name of Jesus, is as ointment poured forth. Well, this morning, is this name precious to us as we are able to realize what the Saviour passed through in suffering and dying that death? Don't forget there were those two outstanding instances. First of all, in Gethsemane's garden, when he prayed to his Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He knew what he had to face. Yes, that battering in the judgment hall and then that excruciating death. Remember what he said. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He died. He was willing to suffer in order that we might live. Now, we have nothing to merit salvation ourselves. Nothing at all. The hymn writer says, what was there in me to merit esteem or give my Creator delight? There was nothing good in ourselves. We're sinners from head to foot. But how amazing that the Lord Jesus Christ should be willing not only to suffer in that way, be willing to say, if not my will, but thine be done. What a great and glorious example to us today and every day to remember that. Not my will, but thine be done. And then on Calvary's cross to endure the hiding of his Father's face. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, the blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, suffered then in that way for those 3 hours, the hiding of his Father's face. For my friends, the devil did all he could to conquer the Saviour. All he could. But the blessed Lord was able to confirm those words as he gave his spirit, gave up his spirit. He said, it is finished. That work the Father gave him to do was gloriously completed upon that cross at Calvary so many years ago. Well, this morning, are we able to say, thy name is as ointment poured forth. It is fragrant to me. It is a sweet name because there resides all my hope for time and eternity. And so this morning, how do we respond to this statement? Can we confirm, yes, it is true. Thy name is sweet to me. It is a fragrant name. Now, my friends, don't think that these things are irrelevant. Don't think that these things are not necessary. If Christ means nothing to us, if his name is not fragrant, you will not want to be in heaven. You will not want to be there. because heaven is worshipping Christ. That's what heaven is. And if we don't have that true desire on earth, firstly, we should never want to be in heaven, and secondly, we should never get to heaven. So such a word as this is very relevant to our spiritual condition. It's very relevant. For thy name is as ointment poured forth. Well, you have to answer before God this morning. My friends, be honest. Be honest to God. And don't pretend what you don't know. And don't pretend what you're not. But bless God if you can say this morning, thy name is as ointment poured forth. And bless God for it. Thank God for it, and praise God for it. But if you can't, pray that you might. Pray that the Lord will draw near. The Lord will bless you with this wonderful favour, which it is. But you will be able to say, yes, I can now say, the name of Jesus is fragrant. It is a wonderful name. It is a glorious name. It is that name I love to hear. See, when you hear the name of Jesus mentioned, what does it do to you? Does it affect you? Does it mean anything to you? As the name of Jesus is spoken of and mentioned, does it draw you out? Is it attractive to your heart? Do you long to know the Saviour, know more of the Saviour? You know, the Apostle Paul, in his life, we know he had a blessed faith. Paul had a very difficult life. But he was able to say this, for me to live is Christ. Christ was his life. His life. And death is gain. Look forward to that time when he would be eternally with Christ. But nonetheless, his life was taken up with Christ. Christ was precious to the Apostle Paul. Oh, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Well, to think that this great and glorious Saviour should have looked upon you and looked upon me. We've sung that hymn this morning about the prodigal son. And you may perhaps think, well, of course, I'm not like that. Well, you might need to look a bit more carefully and perhaps find out that you are like that, or perhaps you were like that, because what he wanted was his fill of the world. He wanted his fill of the world, but he was brought to see it was vanity, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. The word of God is very remarkably placed together. Because the book of Ecclesiastes comes before the Song of Solomon. And if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's worth reading, especially young people, read it, because there King Solomon had in his grasp the ability to do whatever he wanted to. And he did whatever he wanted to, and he tried to find happiness in this world. And by nature, we try to find happiness in this world. You may be trying to find happiness in this world. I can tell you, it's elusive. And Solomon tells us, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. You will not find true happiness in the world. The Lord gives us many things to enjoy. Bless God for it. You will not find true happiness in the world. And then we move on to the Song of Solomon. And there again, Solomon points out where true happiness is to be found. And that's to be found in Christ. And the knowledge of Christ is of greater value than anything this world can give. Because it brings happiness in this life, and it also gives us the assurance of eternal life. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Well then, we have this name as Saviour. Is it a precious name to you this morning as the Saviour of your soul? Saviour of your soul. There's nothing more important in life than to know that our soul has been saved. Nothing more important. We spend a lot of time, don't we, on earthly things. The most important thing is to know that our soul is eternally safe. And therefore it is because of what Christ has done in dying for us upon that cross at Calvary. Well, my friends, this morning, may you be able to find in your heart the evidence that the blessed Lord Jesus Christ has chosen you. He said in the 15th of John, ye have not chosen me, we never would, but I have chosen you. Bless God, if you have been chosen of God and have received that light which will never go out, the light of the glorious gospel. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Well, as Saviour. And just moving on. His name is also Emmanuel, God with us. Have the evidence in our lives that God is with us. He's been with us. He's helped us. He's instructed us. He's directed us. He's been gracious to us. It's because he is Emmanuel, God with us. A good thing this morning, if you're able to confirm, yes, the Lord has been with me. The Lord has been mindful of me. The Lord has not dealt with me as my sins deserve. The Lord has blessed me with his grace. God with us, and God with me. You may have passed through times of difficulty, times of perhaps great trial, but oh, to be able to confirm that God has not left you. It is because God is with you. God has been with you. We don't always realize it in the fullness of it. But nonetheless, God hasn't left us. What a blessing it is to know that. God with us. Perhaps, as the Apostle Peter was able to declare, kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God, perhaps from giving up. Because God is with you. And he has said, I would never leave you, nor forsake you. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Has he helped you? Dare you deny it? Has he helped you? And so this morning, can you come and say, oh, this name, the name of Jesus, is sweet because he has helped me. He has been with me. He has been mindful of me. He hasn't left me. He hasn't forsaken me. Thy name is as ointment poured forth then as Emmanuel. Isaiah gives us a few words. His name is Wonderful. Wonderful. Is the Lord's name wonderful to you? Is it the greatest name, the most glorious name? The name of Jesus? Is it a wonderful name to you this morning? Oh, is it a fragrant name, this name of Jesus? His name is Wonderful. And then he goes on to say, Counselor. The one who draws near to you and counsels you. Isn't that amazing that this great God should come and counsel us? As it were, come alongside us and direct us and speak to us in the way that we should go. He counsels us. What a blessing to have such a God. Just think of it. The almighty ruler of the heavens and earth, the one who created all things, willing to come and counsel us, to encourage us, to instruct us, to direct us. And he goes on to say, the mighty God, the mighty God. And my friends, it's the might of God which calls us by grace. It's the might of God which brings us out of darkness into the glorious light. It's the might of God which gives life, spiritual life. It's the might of God which gives natural life. It's the might of God which gives spiritual life. Do we know that this morning? The mighty God. This mighty God who's given me life. Can we say that? Do we bless God? And is his name a sweet smell, fragrant to us this morning? Because of that life which we've received. Oh, he's brought me out of darkness into his marvellous light. You know, when that light shines, it's a glorious light. It's a marvellous light. We're surprised we never saw it before. It's the evidence of life. The light of God, which shines into our heart. Would you know that light in your soul this morning? And if it is, if you know it, why it is, because the name of Jesus. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. And then he says, the Prince of Peace. You know, there's no true peace outside of Christ. No true peace outside of Christ. But there is peace inside of Christ. You see, if we have the wonderful evidence that Christ has died for us, you see, that brings peace. Peace which the world cannot give. You'll be like a restless ocean, tossed to and fro. But when the Saviour draws near and counsels you, and speaks to you, and shows you what he's done for you, what he's doing for you, that you, those things that you could have never done for yourself, the evidence of life within, peace with God, peace with God. We were enemies once. You may be an enemy this morning. I don't know. You know, if you're an enemy with God this morning, if you're an enemy with God this morning, you won't have any peace. You may have a false peace, my friends, if you're convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, you won't have any peace until the Lord draws near and touches your heart and reveals to you the glory of his finished work, that glorious plan of salvation whereby the Saviour redeemed your soul, whereby the Saviour shed his precious blood. That was the price paid, the blood of Christ, to save your soul. Now if we are under that blood, there is safety. Safety in Christ. And it's an eternal safety. Once in him forever. What does it bring? Peace to the soul. The Prince of Peace. Well, may we know something today and every day of the blessed sweetness of this name, and therefore be able to say in humble confidence, yes, the Lord's name is sweet to me. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Well, my friends, may we be able to say it today, and if we can't, give God no rest until you can. As we are able to declare this, there is safety and there is peace and there will be eternal glory. Amen.
Last Lord's Day were £699, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hyde will address the Sunday School this afternoon, Mr. John Rosier will preach tomorrow evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 671. How shall I come to thee, O God, who holy art, and cannot evil see but with a loathing heart? I am defiled throughout by sin, and by my very birth unclean. Hymn 671.
Come to thee.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit be with us each now and forever. Amen.